Notice that with our multimedia, I believe it has the COVID virus 19. Somehow those songs get misplaced. I want you, if you would, kids are dismissed for Kids Corner. If you want to leave right now, I encourage you to do so. And the rest of you, I'd like you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this blessed morning, this opportunity to be in your presence and to worship you. We pray, God, that as we look at your word, that you would strengthen us as followers of Christ. And that you, Lord, would meet each need that is here today. We thank you, Lord, that in uncertain times, we can always turn to you. And so we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your blessing on your word this morning. We pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. When you hear the word fear, what are the first thoughts that enter your mind when you hear that word fear? I think for most, I would imagine responses like terror, horror, maybe panic. I remember many years ago when growing up, Alfred Hitchcock movies were very popular in the day when I grew up. Some of you don't even remember who Alfred Hitchcock is or know who he is. But those movies had you always on the edge of your seat because you never knew what was going to happen. And for some, they used to strike terror into their lives. Well, let's be honest this morning. Outside of the movies, what scares you? What are you afraid of this morning? What are you worried or anxious about today? I know from watching the news that our minds are inundated with reporting on the coronavirus, causing fear and worry and anxiety over what has been declared a pandemic. Fear has filled the hearts of people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. From around the globe, folks are doing, you know, everything within their power to avoid getting the virus. On Tuesday, it was reported that some 44 people in Iran died from drinking a toxic alcohol concoction, and after it was rumored to be a cure for the coronavirus. They've also had satellite imaging that shows that in that country they're digging massive graves for what is taking place. Large corporations like Amazon and Apple and Google are closing their offices, and employees are working from home, which is affecting other businesses who are dependent on those employees, like restaurant owners and others. Colleges and universities are telling students not to come back to school after spring break, and that means that all the classes will be online indefinitely. I was talking to my son Joel, who is up at Penn State University. He's works up there for a Subaru dealership. And a professor came in who had been there for many, many years. And they'd shut the university down. You have to realize that Penn State's the second largest university in the nation with over 50,000 students on campus. The dorms are closed. Many of those are foreign nationals from other countries. He had a professor that came in who's been there for years, who's taught, and he said, in 2 days, I have to develop an online course. That's what they've been given. Crazy, isn't it? Major sporting events have been canceled. There are some that are encouraging you and me to stay home from church. And by all means, please, don't hug one another today. The tourism industry is trying to keep its head above water, as many have canceled or postponed cruises, flights, and hotels. The expected losses are calculated to be above $1 trillion. I understand that it will take another 18 to 24 months to develop an effective vaccine. The Dow Jones Industrial is driven by fear, as are other financial markets from around the world. Investors are selling at huge losses. The stock market is experiencing great volatility. Investors are anxious over their uncertain future that this virus presents. I had to take something back to Sam's yesterday, and the woman that was helping me said, "Boy, I hope this changes." Sam's was packed, you know, everybody was there looking for stuff. And she said, "My 401k lost $15,000 yesterday. Says that's my only retirement." I mean, people are worried. People are fearful. One benefit is that the oil prices are tumbling because not many people are traveling, so we can get cheaper gas. And I'll tell you something that isn't plunging, and that's toilet paper. Right? Go to Sam's Club, and it's been cleaned out for a week. You go back to that back right corner, and the shelves are bare. There is nothing. There's no toilet paper. There are no paper towels. Why? Because what do you need when a pandemic breaks out? You need toilet paper, of all things, right? And so people are hoarding it, as well as all kinds of products. If any of you need toilet paper, I have some extra. I'll sell it for $50 a roll. But, you know, people are driven by fear. Worry and anxiety fill their hearts because ultimately they fear death, and that's because they do not have what we have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be fearful about anything. Well, how do you handle the fears that we encounter in this world? Because they are real, aren't they? I believe we can handle them by experiencing the fear of the Lord, as used in the Bible to describe our relationship with God. Now, when we hear or read the word fear in the Bible, in the context of our relationship with God, does that mean that we are to be afraid of God? Should we be stricken with terror when we open our Bibles and go to read them? We know throughout Scripture that there were those who found themselves in the presence of God, and as a result, the fear of the Lord caused sinners to fall prostrate before Him because of His glory, because of His holiness. We know there were those who experienced His wrath, and you can read through Scripture, reading in Numbers and places where thousands lost their lives because of sin. Solomon, who was blessed by God with wisdom beyond that of any man, wrote these inspired words in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Words that are very important, I believe, for us to understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. These are some strange words for our North American minds to grasp. So what is the fear of the Lord that Solomon speaks of? Charles Bridges, he's an old-time writer, in his classic commentary on Proverbs writes, "The fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which a child of God submits himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law." In other words, out of reverence for God, we as believers, we who are in relationship with God because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, are to humbly and carefully submit ourselves to Him and to His Word. Tim Keller adds to this when he says, "Fearing God is not mere belief in Him. It is to be so filled with joyful awe before the magnificence of God that we tremble at the privilege of knowing Him, serving Him, and pleasing Him." Warren Wiersbe says, if we truly fear the Lord, we acknowledge from our hearts that He is the Creator. We are the creatures. He is the Father. We're the children. He is the Master. We're the servants. When one fears the Lord, they respect God for who He is. They listen carefully to what He says, and they obey His word, knowing that our disobedience displeases Him, breaks our fellowship with Him, and invites His discipline in our lives. Well, let's consider how all of this applies to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. As we look at this verse this morning, let me begin by saying that there is nothing more important in all of life than to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He has sent. There is nothing more important than that. And we come to know God, and we come to know His Son through the Word of God, through the Bible. And here in Proverbs 1, verse 7, two lessons are important that we can find in this verse that are important for us to learn as those who love God and follow Him. And the first lesson is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that word beginning is important. That word beginning in the Hebrew is a noun that means first place in time or order or rank. In other words, it stresses to us as believers the importance of giving God first place in our lives. For one who is a believer, the only place that God should have, right, is first place. So Solomon, the wisest man ever to live on the face of the earth, says, in order for us to have God in first place and to know Him as we can know Him, we must fear the Lord. We must fear Him. The fear of the Lord is a very common expression in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. The fear of the Lord occurs at least 18 times in the book of Proverbs. And as it is used here in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is speaking of a penitential or repentant fear, a repentant turning from sin, to the Lord. And this is really key in being able to have a relationship with the Lord. We must, in repentance, turn from sin to Him. A little later in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 13, Solomon adds to this when he says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. And he follows that statement with the evil that he hates. He said, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. These are all sins that God hates too. As a matter of fact, God hates sin, period. We know that, don't we, from His Word. And like Solomon, if we fear the Lord, if He occupies first place in our lives, then we too should be able to list the evil and sin that we hate. This brings us to the place of repentance. In other words, we can never know God and He be in first place in our lives while hanging on to our sins at one and the same time. We can't do that. We must turn from sin. We must hate sin. And that's the basis of repentance. But to know God, we must not only hate sin and turn from it, but for Him to occupy first place in our lives, we must also trust Him. We must trust Him. This calls for a reverential faith and trusting in God, which, as we've seen, is a believer with a humble and reverent heart that respects God and obeys Him. In Proverbs 14, verse 26, we read, "Those who fear the Lord are secure." Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. The security that Solomon mentions here is based on one's faith and trust in God. If you do not have faith in God, then you're not secure, but you're very insecure in life. And instead of fearing the Lord, you fear the coronavirus and every other threat upon our lives. Paul's words to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 21, reveal that knowledge of God begins with repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." To experience the fear of the Lord, one must be in a relationship with God. And to experience Him today in your life, one does so by turning from our sin and trusting Him. When we do, we are secure in this world. No matter what life brings to our door. And if we have kids, Solomon says, God will be a refuge for them because we fear Him. The complete fulfillment of our beings is knowing God personally. Indeed, Jesus said that this is eternal life. This life for the Christian is an endless life. Since knowing God requires an eternity to develop our relationship with Him. More than this, the nature and the quality of this life necessitate an eternal dimension. So whether it's here on earth or later in heaven, the divine purpose for every Christian is to fear the Lord, to know God, and to be in a close and abiding relationship with Him. The second lesson from this verse is the barrier to knowledge. This lesson is found in the words, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word "fools" describes one who has an unrepentant mindset that despises godly wisdom and instruction. David, in two of his psalms, Psalm 14, verse 1 and 53, verse 1, states, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The word "fool" in these verses is synonymous with a person who has chosen wickedness, sinfulness, who is an unrepentant person. The individual here described as a fool is one who aggressively lives out their sinful life. They live life for themselves. They live personally independent of God, and in doing so, they scorn Him through their disobedience to His word and His commandments. Sin shrugs at God. Its essence is failing to believe, not by all, but by some, failing to believe not that He exists, but that He even matters. This foolish attitude is deadly. The fear of God and self-understanding grow or diminish together. Indifference toward God is a form of self-conceit and self-deception. To feel no need for God is to be out of touch with reality. And such people have ceased to be wise. Such individuals are the opposite of the wise man or woman who fears the Lord. This attitude of a fool, I think, is really illustrated best in the life of Esau, Jacob's brother. Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 to 34, it says, you know the story, most of us. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights as a firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation already. What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First, you must swear that your birthright is mine." And so Esau swore on an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. Esau was a fool. He was a man who despised his birthright, and he sold it for a bowl of Campbell's soup, in essence. Even though afterwards he wanted to inherit the blessings of the firstborn, he was rejected. In fact, we're told in Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17, "Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter words." These are some thought-provoking words, are they not? They should make us think before we give up our fear of the Lord to indulge even in the smallest of sins, which is a spiritual cancer in our lives and is foolish on our parts. The barrier to the knowledge of God spoken of by Solomon here in verse 7 is the unrepentant mind and the unbelieving heart. What a warning! What a warning about barriers in our own lives. For believers, it's important for us that no sin barrier ever rob us of knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us to break down all barriers, and He rose again to bring blessing into our lives. It is critical for us to remember how important our relationship with God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How crucial it is for us to grow in the knowledge that the Word of God provides for us, so that we can live by faith in this world when faced with the fear of a pandemic, virus, or anything else that comes at us. Brother and sister in Christ, there is nothing to fear in this world when our relationship with Him, when in this relationship with Him, we fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you will know His Word. And it's the beginning of knowledge. So no matter the circumstances you find yourself in, you take His Word by faith, and in obedience, you apply it to your life. For you who fear the Lord, hear His Word to you this morning. And in the midst of a world that ultimately fears death, many people, your neighbors, maybe some in your own families, people you work with, fear death ultimately. They don't have the assurance that we have in Christ. James 4, verse 4 says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone." My fog is probably shorter than most people here today. I've been here longer. But think about that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice today. This present life is not reality. That's the way David Wilkerson put it. Our reality is eternal life in the presence of our blessed Lord. So keep faith, because things are winding down, but we're going up. Fear the Lord. Let Him occupy first place in your life. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Do not fear what the world fears. Remember, when we fear the Lord, we respect God for who He is. We listen carefully to what He says, and we obey His word. We obey His word. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. Doesn't matter if, you know, martial law comes into place and we're all required to stay in our homes. It doesn't matter. We fear the Lord. We obey His word, knowing that our disobedience displeases Him, and it breaks our fellowship with Him, and it invites His discipline in our lives. My encouragement is that we fear the Lord. Now, in closing, I'd like us to take some time to pray. This is the National Day of Prayer. And probably many of us know people who right now are afraid and fearful and are trying to figure things out in life. And most of them probably are people who don't know Christ, but I know that there are Christians who are fearful as well, and who are not hanging on God's word, who do not fear Him today, who are struggling. And so what I'd like us to do in closing this portion of our service is just to reach out to the Lord in prayer for those we know who need Jesus, who need the fear of the Lord in their lives. And one after the other, if you would, just lift your heart before the Lord for those who need Him today, and I'll close. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, and we know, Lord, that whatever we face in this life, that, Lord, we don't go at it alone, but we have this wonderful relationship with you. I think of those, Lord, today who might be afraid, who don't have the hope and the peace that we possess, that are running here and there trying to get supplies, who are filled with fear over the possibility of, you know, losing their retirement or their own life because they're compromised physically in some way. Lord, I just pray that in your way and in your power, that, Lord, that message, that wonderful message of Christ that we have come to know and believe and trust would find its way to those, Lord, who are living, Lord, in foolishness, who are living life without you and no future inheritance in you. And we just pray, God, that you would use these days for your kingdom and for your glory, and that many, Lord, would come to know Jesus as Savior. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. Would you please stand? And after we're done, if you would just be seated.